You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring it to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit, and I've enjoyed this week. I don't know what you guys have been doing, eating lots of turkey, or what you've been eating exactly, maybe chicken, pork, and all this good stuff. I remember listening to the News 9 people saying, now, you need to set your scales back 10 pounds, just for conscience sake, you know. So we've been trying to control that. We did cook up a nice turkey, a small one, but for three people, it's a lot of meat. So we're going to be eating turkey for a while, Reuben and I, and so that's going to be fun, I hope. Yeah. Anyway, let's begin with a word of prayer. God and Father, we thank Thee for this time, Lord. We can open up the Scriptures and learn more of Thee. We thank Thee for the preservation of Thy Word, that it's as good today as it was yesterday, and we can trust on it for the years and times and ages to come. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to start with a new series. So this is part one of a brand new series, Mid-Acts or Acts 28. So we need to back up a little bit to sort of get a picture and justification for this. Why is this an important issue? What on earth is this Mid-Acts? You see, we've got to understand something, that not all churches are like ours. People don't come along to church to necessarily get into an in-depth study of the Word of God. That's not what they come to church for. What they come for is to praise God, in many cases, in their own particular fashion and tradition, and to have a good time, to have a nice clean environment, a place for their children to go to hear Sunday school, and a time of fellowship as well. And in many respects, the church is around having a fellowship and having a good time in the Lord. Right? Now, I'm not criticizing all of that. I think we should have a lot of fellowship in the Lord. We should come and enjoy our time together. But the emphasis of this fellowship has always been, from my understanding of it, has always been to be scriptural. That is, we really want to understand what God has to say to us, not so much about what we have to say to Him. And we do want to say things to God. Yes, we do. We want to communicate with God. We want Him to communicate with us. But we understand as fallen creatures that His Word is paramount. Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. Wow. So, when it comes to the Scriptures, we need to come to terms with this book. Many churches do not. In my history, that was the case. It was a good time, many great people, but the gospel was preached, I heard it, I responded, I was saved through a church just like that. So, churches like that do have some function. Here's the problem. The problem is, if all the churches only go so far, then we don't mature as Christians. We don't know how to really live our lives. And we're open to various doctrines that can push us one way or another. So I think it's very important that we come to understand what God has to say to us. Not simply in a general sense, but in a much more particular sense. And here's the point where this comes in. I want to know what God has to say to us in the age in which we find ourselves. I'm a bit weird like this, but I often think about stuff like, well, how is it that I was born now? How is it that we are here together? You know, it is truly a remarkable thing that here we are. We're sharing this little window of life together. It's this big. It's tiny, man. It's tiny. It is just a breath. And yet we're sharing it together with all sorts of other peoples and groups. How we live this life is important. How we approach life and how we live it has got to be important. It's so short. It's got to be important. There's this man, David Cassidy, passed away just recently. I think I love you. That song, right? When I was a kid, I remember this song. It went around the world. David Cassidy. And, of course, he was a very good-looking man, wasn't he? Slightly, you know, I'd say slightly a little bit on the feminine side of things, you know, as far as his looks. But a good-looking man, all right? And he was very popular indeed. That song took him a long way. He said this about his life, that he wasted a lot of it. You know, so much of life is wasted. And I thought about my own life so far, and I thought, man, you know, he's right. There's so much of our time, we just waste it. We waste our time. It's so short. Time. So, let's have a look at time in the Bible. Okay, so time in the Bible, I mean, if we're going to draw it, I mean, drawing it is a good idea because we can concentrate on time that way. So we are familiar with this event in time, which is where Christ was crucified. We understand it happened in time. We may argue precisely when in time, but that's another feature. Even those people who are perhaps cynical and perhaps doubting about Christian beliefs, they still will find it very difficult to overcome the historicity of the fact that this event occurred in time, that there was, in fact, a person called Jesus Christ and that he died. And we know from the scriptures that he rose again the third day. We know that in the book of Acts, if I have to write this down here, the book of Acts records the events that occurred after this. So over here, let's put down Acts 9, and here's Acts 2. And I'll put this little squiggly line here. Acts 2 is where the Holy Spirit was given and remained. Meno, to remain, it remained. And then over here we have at Acts 9, this is important because this is where we get the recollection of the salvation of the chief of sinners, known as Saul, and whose Gentile name was Paul. Paul. If you go to Sonic and you ask for water, they won't know what you're talking about. Water. What is water? Anyway, another story. So, Saul and Paul. When I go to Sonic, that's Reuben's job. Because he knows how to speak Oklahoman. So anyway, so Saul and Paul. And so that's what happened. And over here at Acts 28, there was really the end of the book of Acts. So we have, certainly, the book of Acts taking us through various events, running through a number of years, perhaps 30 or so years, total of 40 years, in there recorded. So we have some sort of chronology that's built into the Bible. Now, the book of Acts, as I say, transgresses a lot of ground, goes through a lot of movement, till finally Paul ends up in Rome. Here he's on the road to Damascus, and now over here at the end of the book of Acts, Paul is in jail in Rome. Wow. So he's in jail in Rome. But wait a minute, when I read the Bible, I get epistles appearing, like I get Romans. And the first word in Romans is Paul. And then I look and I find 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And I say, wait a minute, Paul. So Paul is writing epistles. During this time, when Paul was in jail, out of jail, moving around the book of Acts, during this time, going from Damascus here and then finally ending up in Rome, there's a number of epistles written. So there are epistles written by Paul. What is an epistle? It's just a letter. Hello, this is Wayne. Doing well, having a good time here. Hope to see you soon. And you sign it, or date it, or whatever. That's a letter. Okay, so there are various letters that were written to the churches. Churches, these are called out groups that find themselves in all sorts of places around Galatia and around places like Thessalonica and Philippi and Ephesus, all around there, all these different churches, church groups can be found. So there are different letters that are written by Paul during this time. So here is the issue. Here is the very important issue. The important issue is these epistles must, if they were written during the time of Acts, must conform to the period of time covered in the book of Acts. So the things that you find being discussed here during the book of Acts, they must to some degree reflect into the epistles. They must conform to the time of the book of Acts. It would be a strange thing if they were written during the time of the book of Acts and then they are somehow different to what's recorded by the book of Acts that going on at that same time. That would be a very strange thing. They should conform to the time in which they were written. Okay, that's cool. So when Paul was put in jail here, then what happens is that Paul writes again. He writes as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. You Gentiles. So here we have Paul writing to Gentiles. And you notice how I write his name. No, I do know how to spell. Now, I'm not very good at spelling, but I do know how to spell. That there is for aurum, in the periodic table of elements. And that's gold, all right? So one thing that you discover about the writings of Paul after the end of the book of Acts is that they are specifically addressed to Gentiles. Now you might say, but wait a minute, there are Gentiles in here too. Yeah, and this is where the confusion comes in. We try to remove confusion. But the difference here is that while there are Gentiles involved, it's very clear that God is giving an advantage to the Jew. The Jew was first. And then the Gentiles. And then the Gentiles, while they were partaking of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, Romans chapter 11, nonetheless, they were unnaturally grafted in. It was an unnatural graft that God made to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. That is, during this time, you're going to find that while Jew was first, they were essentially in rebellion. Okay? Now, those of you who have not been here previously, you've just missed out on the U, V, and W's of right division. Some of you are saying, just as well. The rebelliousness of Israel is exhibited during this time. And so God is doing something with this. He is provoking them to jealousy, to try and get them to see who Jesus was and the fact that he is the Messiah. And he's then showing mercy upon whom he will show mercy, and he is hardening those that he wishes also for this purpose of something to come. There is a purpose that is to come. And this purpose relates to Paul, the prisoner. And these ideas I'm trying to build. Now, so I've sort of given you a little bit of the lay of the land, right? Now, let's put this thing into its place. The point is, where do we find our hope being presented? Whereabouts would we go in the Bible to see the beginning of where our hope is exhibited and shown? Where is God's will demonstrated for us in this particular age in which we find ourselves? Because we know that there is a chronologue here. There is chronology. Chronos, time is running on. And something really severe happened at the end of the book of Acts. We know it did because we can read it. So let's just quickly read there at Acts 28 and just have a look at this very quickly. It says this. And it says in verse number, verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews. Now, you've got to understand this now. This is coming right at the end of the book of Acts, right at the end of a history of things that went on with where Paul would go to the synagogue and he would preach Christ and him crucified, and the Jews would rip their shirts open and throw dust up in the air and say, "We will not have this man to rule over us." And he would go from synagogue to synagogue, and finally, after a series of interesting events occurred, he makes an appeal to Caesar, and as a Roman citizen, he has this right. Right? And he appealed to that right. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? That Roman right. And we, of course, in this country, will lose our rights if we don't stand up for them, right? Paul had certain rights as a Roman citizen, and he made use of those rights. I appeal to Caesar, and to Caesar he went. And so right here, now in Acts 28... there is this meeting. And Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." Now notice the way he's giving his defense before these Jewish elders. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong at all. "I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers." He preached none other things than those which Moses and the prophets said should come. That's a very important statement. And one which, when I first saw this, I thought, wow, this is an amazing passage. It says this, if you just go back to Acts 26 and verse 20, it says, "But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." Yeah. So this is really interesting. This is what he did. Notice he says that they should repent and turn to God, do works meet for repentance. And then verse 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Now, that is strong, isn't it? There's implications to this. Since he said that right near the end of the book of Acts, that's a good summary of what went on before, don't you think? I am not going to go back in here and find some strange new doctrine that was hidden from the prophets, but rather these things would be based upon the prophets. All these things that went on back here. So that's interesting. Let's go back to Acts 28 and verse 18 or thereabouts. It says, Who when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. Isn't that interesting? There was no cause of death in me. Paul was not opposed to the death penalty. In fact, he remarked that if he had done something wrong, he would certainly allow himself to be killed. It was right and proper that that be the case. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So right through all of this time, he was preaching none other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come, and that he was indeed bound, put in chains, for the hope of Israel. Israel had certain promises. There was hope associated with that. And that hope could be found in the Old Testament. In fact, you go back into Isaiah, here you will see so much prophesied concerning him and what Jesus would do. Now, coming across here in verse 21, it says, "And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it's spoken against." Well, that's right. Spoken against. Just because people mass together and take an opinion does not mean that that opinion is something you need to be a part of. One thing I learnt as a new Christian was that, man, there's a lot of confusion within Christianity, unfortunately. There's so much. Am I pointing to myself as saying that I've got it all sorted? No, I haven't got it all sorted out. But here's one thing I've got sorted out. One thing I've got sorted out is that the message of God for us today did not originate in the book of Acts, but rather the message which is ours for today was given to Paul the prisoner at the end of the book of Acts, not during it. Now have a look further down. It says this. Verse 24, "And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not." Well, that's right, isn't it? So should our conclusion be, well, some believe what we're saying and some do not, so let's just give up. We can't know anything. Right? We can't know anything. Some believe this way, some believe that, and you can't say what's really the truth. So what we'll do is we won't preach doctrine anymore. Let's not preach doctrine anymore, because some people believe that, some people believe something else, and, oh, the Bible's dangerous, it's going to divide us. You see, this is how people look at it. Whereas what you should look at it is this, from the very beginning, if you go right back into the book of Genesis, what do you find? You find people in disagreement, going the wrong way, some going the right way. If you go back into churches like Corinth, what do you find? You find a mess, absolute mess, with all kind of sin going on within the assembly, all sorts of stuff going on. So what? Each individual must hold to the stuff. Each individual must make up his own mind what the truth is. You can't just say, well, some believe that and some believe that. That's not the point. The point is, what do you believe? That's the question. Don't try and make excuses for not addressing what the Bible says. Now, many, unfortunately, are doing this. They're saying, no, this is dangerous. Oh, dangerous. Keep away. That's going to divide. Can't have that. In verse 25, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers." And then he goes through saying, "Go unto this people." He's still addressing the nation of Israel. And he's quoting Isaiah in context for the third time.
What is that? KO, is it?
One, two, boom!
That's a KO. Knockout. And it goes like this. Right at the end, after in verse 27, talking about the heart and the ears and the and so on, the eyes closed. 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, the Gentiles, the nations, and that they will hear it. Oh man, let me see. Let's look at my lineage. Where do I come from? Well, let's see. On one side, I come from these Scotsmen. The Scotsmen. Hey, we fight with the McDonald's. And then on the other side, well, let's see. Plymouth, England. I haven't really done my family tree, but there's also all sorts of background in there. I think there's some French background in there. There's even some Samoan background in there. There's all sorts of background in there. Well, one thing I do know is I ain't a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I am a member of the nations. Oh, well, that's cool. Where is it that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles in a context where Jew is no longer first? Well, I think we just read it, didn't we? I think we just read it. That context is at the end of the book of Acts. And so what I want to do now is I want to find out those epistles that were written by Paul after this event, because they will contain the message for me in this age. So, mid-Acts or Acts 28. That's what we're talking about. Where do we go to get our marching orders? Where do we go to get the instruction for how we should then live? Back here? How about Acts chapter 2? Pentecost. 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 You know, that's got something to do with 50. That's got something to do with the law observance. That's got something to do with promises given to Israel. And what do we find over here? Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 13. I want to see what Paul is doing back here. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 14 and following, there's a great discussion. In verse 16 it says, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. Look who he's addressing. Beckoning with his hand. Men of Israel. What was Paul's commission? Yeah, he was certainly an apostle to the Gentiles because he did go to the Gentiles. Very, very unique. Because, I mean, before that, no. Peter, when he saw this sheet coming down with all these weird animals in there, no, never taken anything unclean. Never. But Paul, on the other hand, he was commissioned to go to the Gentiles during this time to provoke the tree. It says, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land. And he goes on tracing out their history, showing you all of this. And then it says this in verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Guilty, Israel being guilty here. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Unto the people. Still, Israel is in vogue, is in contrast here to the Gentiles. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, or the promise which was made unto the fathers, this is Paul's message, which he said in Acts 26, was none other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. What is he doing? He's anchoring his good news that he's preaching here in the Old Testament. Right? Anchoring it there. And it's concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. David, yes. Going back to the promises given to David. Prophecy. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. And that's the doctrinal position of what it means to die. You die, you fall to sleep, and you are awoken again at the resurrection. You go on a deep sleep. And what's the nature of a good deep sleep? No memory. Fast. What's the time that goes on between death and resurrection? That's your time. That's how much time there is for you. Hey, man, that was short. What happened? That's what it's going to be like. That's your resurrection in Christ. It's a fantastic doctrine. Man, his nature and destiny, check it out. Verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So you see now, what is Paul doing here? Is he bringing some new ideas? Yes, new, but not new in the sense that they're outside of the Old Testament scriptures. He's bringing forth doctrine concerning salvation by grace through faith. Yes, but all of that is grounded on the Old Testament. Okay, there's more to read here. I haven't got time because I want to finish this thought. So now what I'm going to do, we read in Acts, we got the program. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to an epistle written by Paul the prisoner. The prisoner, man. Over here, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I'll give them back. Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse 1. Look at this. This is absolutely cool. This is remarkable. This is a change that happened to my life akin to salvation. If you have never come to acknowledge and understand this, it would be a shame that it doesn't ever happen in your Christian life. I would say it's a tremendous shame if this never happens to you. Here it comes. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Didn't we read back in Acts 13 about how that, you know, the Romans took Jesus and did with him according to his plan and purpose? So the Romans were instruments and they did something to Jesus. The Romans again are doing something with Paul. But as it happens, Paul is not so much a prisoner of Rome as he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Because he's starting a new ministry from jail, man, after Acts 28. Look at this. I hope you got this. This is cool. This is where the cool starts. And it talks in verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. The dispensation. The oikonomia. The economy. You have nothing if you don't have an economy. Economy. Oikonomy. The household law. Oikos. Nomos. Law of the household.
If you have a household that does not have regulations about how it should function, you've got yourself a mess, man. Kids are jumping out the windows. You know, all sorts of stuff is going down. Putting a rat in the microwave and all sorts of stuff going on. Coming on down here, look at verse 9. And to make all men see, look at this. Oh, let's go to verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Oh, man, this fits just so perfectly with the previous series. ABCs, or the UV and Ws, a right division on Calvinism. Look what it says. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Yeah, he's the chief of sinners. He is an example of someone whom God, during the time when there was great rebellion against God's purposes, God came down to Paul and showed mercy upon whom he would show mercy. Here's the example here. Now he goes on, for what purpose? Why was this? That I should preach among the Gentiles. The Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I should tell you a story. I like to play with words and, you know, mispronounce them on purpose. I did this one time when I was teaching statistics. And I would mispronounce on purpose this word, which was, to do with a statistical idea. And I purposely mispronounce it. Just have fun with the name. And I never pronounce it correctly all the way through the semester. And then at the end of the semester, one of my students came to me and said, what is the meaning of that word? All the whole semester, and at the end, what is the meaning of that word? And this is the foundational idea associated with that word. I learned, oh man, I'm never going to do that again. So that was a mistake. So, Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, wait. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. Oh, so this is unsearchable riches. It means untraceable. You can't trace them out. You can try all you want. You won't find them. What he was doing over here, according to Acts 13 and Acts 26, is he was preaching none other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come. But now, he's saying, hold the phone, man. Here's something you can't trace out. Look at verse 9. And to make all men, it's all peoples, see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery. Now look at it. Notice the nature of this mystery. The mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. What was hid in God? The mystery. The, not the wisdom of God hid in a mystery. No, no. No, 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 no. It says the mystery. The article goes with it. The mystery. Look at this. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in the prophets? No, no, no. It was hid in God. And that's double proof that there ain't no way you're going to trace this baby out. You can search and search all you want, and it's not going to be found there. It was released to this man here, Paul the prisoner. You say, big deal. Yeah, it's actually a very, very big deal. It's a massive deal because this changes everything. This means that if I want to understand what God has to say to me, I am not going to go to the hope of Israel because that's not my hope. You see what I'm saying? I want to find out as a Gentile, what's going on? What's my orders? What should I do? What's the household rules? Then I've got to go to Paul the prisoner. And that, therefore, makes this demarcation the important demarcation. Not somewhere mid in Acts. Now, what we will do, man, is we will go through precisely all of the details. And if you've read 1 Corinthians 2:7, which we did, you'll find that mystery there is, in fact, about the mystery which is God took on flesh. We'll go back into Isaiah and see it all. That is wisdom hid in a mystery. That's a different thing. This one is the mystery hid in God. The mystery. Rock and roll, man. This is really an important thing. And something we're going to really go to town on. I'm going to pull this thing apart. And we'll make it nice and simple. Hopefully this was relatively simple, right? This is nice and straightforward. We can all go away saying, yep, got that. Straight. Cool, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we can open the Scriptures and learn more about Thy Holy Word. And we ask, Lord, as we do so, that it would be pleasing in Thy sight. We pray for those unwell, Lord, that You'd reach down and give them health. Pray for the nation, that You would help us to be obedient and show forth the Word of life to all people and the truth of our liberty that we have, first of all, in Christ, and also to show how that men and women before stood by this, and that we should honor them and Thee in pronouncing these truths. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.